Tuesday is the 100th anniversary of the birth of novelist Thomas Wolfe, an event being celebrated by literary fans throughout the year, but especially this weekend in Wolfe's home state of North Carolina. There are art exhibits, theater productions, readings, critical seminars, and on Tuesday, the U.S. Postal Service will unveil a first-class stamp honoring the author. Weekend Edition essayist Douglas Brinkley has this appreciation.
Thomas Wolfe's centennial is upon us, and only a handful of aficionados seem to care. Today, most Americans confuse the long-dead Thomas Wolfe with the very much alive Tom Wolfe, author of such recent novels as Bonfire of the Vanities and A Man in Full. Thomas Wolfe, however, the North Carolinian who towered over American letters in the 1920s and 1930s, along with F. Scott Fitzgerald and Ernest Hemingway, is, quite simply, no longer in vogue. Today, insensitive critics belittle Wolfe's landmark novels like You Can't Go Home Again and Look Homeward, Angel, pigeonholing him as an adolescent writer or an American primitive. Others mistakenly assert that Jack Kerouac stole Wolfe's romantic thunder and that his once essential novels are now merely quaint and nostalgic relics of the bygone railroad era. They carp that Wolfe would not have amounted to great literary heights if it had not been for his shrewd Scribner editor Maxwell Perkins, and that just because he was possessed of genius doesn't mean he wrote great books. These critics lampoon the rambling, uneven passages in his anti-modernist prose and ridicule his giantism, formlessness, and rhetorical extravagance, saying that his unwieldy novels lack compactness of statement and artistic organization. But these supposed deficiencies are exactly what make Wolfe our native prose prodigy and his achievements so monumental. After leaving North Carolina, where he attended college in Chapel Hill, Wolfe worked as a writer and a teacher in New York City. He traveled all over the United States and Europe, but never forgot his beloved Asheville and chronicled the town's headlong rush toward becoming a tourist and retirement center. Blessed with an unsurpassed poetic sensitivity to the people and sounds of America and the South, Wolfe became an overnight sensation with the publication of Look Homeward, Angel in 1929. His novels today read as an unsurpassed social history of the 1920s and 1930s, brilliantly documenting his short and troubled life, which culminated in his early death in Baltimore at age 38. As a writer, Wolfe's strengths are America's strengths. His weaknesses are America's weaknesses. In an age when Hemingway reigned and modernists wanted simple, unadorned, sparse prose, Wolfe was a romantic nationalist whose literary cup ran over in extravagance, just like America itself. Thomas Wolfe is to American literature what Leo Tolstoy is to Russian literature. Both great, brooding, sentimental bards left over from the days when literature was lyrical. And as for purity of prose and authentic empathy, no American writer has written more knowingly and with more ecstatic energy about both sides of the track, small towns and big cities, rich folk and poor folk, than Wolfe. F. Scott Fitzgerald was correct when he acknowledged that Wolfe had a deeper culture than his contemporaries. And no less an authority than William Faulkner believed that Wolfe was the greatest writer of his generation. In Wolfe's last novel, You Can't Go Home Again, the odyssey of an American in search of himself in his native land, he asserts that every American ought to be required by law to read Emerson's wonderful essay, Compensation. It is my brash contention, as we honor this literary great on his centennial, that every English school teacher in America insist that their students read Wolfe's prose poems about this big, lonely, vast continent of ours. As Wolfe wrote in You Can't Go Home Again, we are so lost, so naked, and so lonely in America. Immense and cruel skies bend over us, and all of us are driven on forever, and we have no home. I think about those words often, usually when alone, driving down some highway at night. They make me shiver and swallow hard. Wolfe's words are like listening to Hank Williams wail, "I'm so lonesome I could cry," while blues drinking away sorrows in a smoky juke joint or noisy honky-tonk, the neon beer sign blinking eternally, on and off, on and off. His lyricism isn't rooted in nostalgia. He feels the loneliness of America in his soul, but presses on with healing optimism and hope for his country's redemption and never-say-die future. "I believe that we are all lost here in America," he once declared. "But I believe we shall all be found. I think the true discovery of America is before us."
Historian Douglas Brinkley is a regular contributor to our program. He joins us from member station WWNO in New Orleans.
I wonder where you are. I'm so lonesome I could cry.